Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas. KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
It is Monday evening, 6 p.m., which means we are broadcasting live from the world headquarters of the KBEC Radio Studios. And tonight, we have Yo-Yo. If you haven't noticed over here, a very distinguished guest.
I noticed the man, the motion picture, the major video event over there in that chair.
In this chair. I mean, someone who graces the halls of this studio on a very, very regular basis.
It's a VHS, by the way.
And generally brings up the IQ wherever he goes.
Wherever he goes. Definitely the sports IQ, the Waxahachie sports IQ for sure. Yeah. Or high school sports IQ. But that would be one Mr. Ken Roberts.
Thank you.
Welcome to the program.
It's very, I've always wanted to get an applause from the studio audience.
You've been here 47 years and you hadn't given yourself an applause?
Not myself. I tend to try to always deflect that praise on others. Feels weird sitting over here. Well, I've never sat over here. You don't.
I thought this is where you did.
Are right where you.
Oh, so we should have switched or
no,
whatever.
No. That's where you belong. I'm just saying it's a strange perspective.
I got you.
Being on this end of the broadcast table in the famed Studio B.
Could have been worse.
Of the world broadcast headquarters.
Could have been worse. He could have been over here with me.
Hey, but we've done that before.
We have done that before. Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to have to work hard not getting distracted just watching the traffic go by up there on Ferris Avenue.
This is why you've always had an office without a window.
I think so.
Because when you had one, your productivity chart just dipped off.
And all of a sudden, whenever I could see outside, they thought, what happened to this guy?
Yeah. But I don't know, Yo-Yo, if you noticed or not, but Ken did big time us. He parked in the secured parking out back.
Oh, the VIP parking out back.
Normally you and I have to, you know, wade our way through all of our autograph seekers and line up out front.
You're 47 interns, too.
But not Ken Roberts. He hits the button, the gate automatically opens, and he goes into the secure parking just like he was as if he were a Texas Ranger or Dallas Cowboy.
The VIP that he really is.
Right. See, the reason why I park back there is because you can walk in on level ground. You have to walk up a grade out in that parking lot.
Oh,
really? And you're to the point where grades are not good.
Yeah, right now I don't need to be walking up any grades.
I got you. All right. But you do realize your job means you're at stadiums quite often where there's lots of steps and all of that.
You know what? For so many years at Lumpkins, you had to walk up that hill to get to the press box. And I had all that equipment with me.
Right.
But I was a lot younger. The good Lord knew they've got to have a good new stadium just so he can have an elevator.
Right. So you're out politicking the bond to make sure it passes.
Man, I'm telling you, because my days of walking up that hill were getting pretty close to an end even 10, 11 years ago.
Oh, funny stuff.
We had to, when we were over at Legacy just a week or so ago for the baseball game, even parking in the VIP parking at their place, you still have to walk a long way.
A long way. Yeah, their parking is kind of unusual.
It's kind of like being out at the Waxahachie synthetic turf field. You're right. High school.
That's a great point. Yeah.
And we have to carry our own table and chairs. I'm telling you, I was about done and I thought, what am we going to do to get this back? And as we were loading up, I grabbed that table. And this Legacy parent with a kid was walking out and said, where are you guys going with that? And I said, well, over by the field house. Son, pick that table up.
And nice.
So that little kid was a freshman. He thinks he's going to be on the varsity next year. So I thought I might give him a shout out next year.
Yeah, exactly. but he was a legacy kid.
He's a legacy kid.
Wow, yeah, wow. Okay.
Carried our table for
So
him.
they're playing it to get him a radio
Good
station
Lord looks
over
out
there.
For being coach when we go on the road.
All right, for sure. For sure. So what exactly is happening here tonight for our listeners so they're not confused or whatever?
Too late.
I have been doing this now, can you believe it, in excess of 2 years.
I cannot believe that. That blows my mind.
Right. I mean, Yo-Yo, I'm closing in on almost being eligible for a five-year pin, maybe,
you know,
something.
Me and DJ Alex just crossed our 5 years.
Really? Did y'all
sure
get a
did.
Pin?
No.
Ken, what's up? Why didn't he get a
I
pin?
I think 7.5 is how we got.
Oh, okay. Oh, you go on the unconventional.
Yeah, one at 7.5, right at 15.
Okay. I got it.
7 years, then, 216 days.
And then by the time you work it into 30 years, the math all works out.
Well, there's
right.
only been two of us make it that long, and one of them is not alive anymore.
Oh, so, man.
I think I'm the only current living member still in.
Oh, now I understand, Yo-Yo. Oh, he's just doing this to protect his own status.
It's all on a gray. It's all on a bell curve based on me.
And you are skewing the curve, my man.
Skewing the curve.
It's hard to believe.
So I have lived in Waxahachie, believe it or not, for I'm just like a few weeks shy of 23 years, which is kind of amazing to
well,
me.
Is. Well,
you're right. I figured I would have been run out within the first 6 or 8 months. But anyway, but one thing I just wanted to know more about your background. I mean, yes, I know you because I work here and we've been in, you know, done radio stuff together and all of that. But I don't know that all of our listeners have. And so I got a lot of questions for you. You've been doing this a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that tonight. About Ken Roberts and his background and his love for the city of Waxahachie and Waxahachie sports and Waxahachie radio and all of that. And then we'll finish up. Our plan is we're going to have a guest in studio, I believe, someone that's kind of good at lifting heavy stuff. So I don't know. We'll get there when and if they arrive. Yeah.
She bees of the female persuasion.
Exactly.
That's what's awesome about that.
That is, for sure. And, you know, if you park wrong in a Volkswagen, you may not want to be parking next to her because she'll just pick it up and move it. But anyway, but I do, Yo-Yo, as I always do, when you do it right on the weather and you get it right and it's perfect, man, you did good yesterday, Yo-Yo, on the weather.
The whole weekend was
The whole weekend was. Today was nice.
I opened the windows.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
At the house. Yeah,
I thought you meant here at the studio, and I was like,
Well,
I think you'd have to kick them out if you want to open them up.
No,
here.
I don't want to do that.
No, that might hinder your 7.5.
That would probably be a that would probably be a lateral promotion.
At best. CLM, a career limiting move.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. I had to go down to College Station. I didn't have to, but I made the choice. It was Parents Weekend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
So the Mighty Aggies were playing Mizzou.
This softball or baseball?
That would be baseball. All did right. not turn out real well.
Mm.
Then we also had the Maroon White game, which I have been to that before. And as a avid lover of football, man, it might be one of the single boringest events I've ever been to in my life. When I went, Johnny Football was there, so it has been a while, but it's hard to get into those spring games, personally, and at the college level.
I'd rather watch the highlights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, show me who did good, and let's move on. That's right.
I never understood the scrimmage thing. It just How many plays do you get?
I understand the scrimmage thing. I don't understand how some – and I don't know what the head count was, but I would guess 40,000 or so people show up to see that.
Because it's the Aggies.
Because it's Texas.
It's Texas. It's A&M. It's all, you know, we always have high hopes. That's right. It's all that. But anyway, the weather down there was absolutely perfect. Mm. It was really nice in College Station. My son is in what they call a men's organization, which basically is a fraternity without Greek letters.
Mm.
Oh, I thought maybe it was like a barbershop quartet.
No, not quite that good. They have had to dance. And an event they have coming up, I believe this Wednesday night, they will be synchronized swimming.
What?
Wow.
How often have you heard of one? How often have you heard of a bunch of college kids synchronized swimming, but better yet, they were able to drag up an audience to view it and spectate it and contribute to it monetarily?
Was that Snagglepuss?
That was Snagglepuss.
I had no idea what that was. What is Snagglepuss?
Stage. You never watched Snagglepuss cartoon when you was a
kid?
Yeah,
I did. But
get ready. Here
exit,
we go.
Stage left.
Give you another chance. Here
all
we
right.
go.
So exit.
Now I get it. Okay, now that I knew what to listen for. Yeah, for sure. But on Parents Weekend, the Aggie Men's Alliance had a crawfish boil. So here's a little tidbit of a note to any organization that wants to have a parents gathering where parents are meeting each other, and I'm meeting all of my son's fellow Aggie Men Alliancers or whatever they're called.
Right.
There could not be a worse event than a crawfish boil. I mean, I had stuff dripping all over me.
So nasty.
And you're trying to shake people's hands, and you're like, hold on, let me scrub down right quick.
You got a corn kernel on the side of your mustache.
Yeah, you got one hung up in your tooth, and you're right. That was kind of tough, but we made it through, you know. And under the great immortal words of a dear friend of mine's dad, Mr. Jim Wheelis, Jimmy Wheelis, he always said, you know, if you go to drinking beer and picking crabs or eating crawfish, you're going to get a whole lot more drunk than you do full.
That's the truth.
That is the truth. There's a lot of work.
You know
that.
What? We talked about that this morning because something came up. Today's National Crawfish Boil Day or something.
Oh, maybe that's why they had it then.
So, and we were talking about that, and Barry was asking me about eating crawfish. I said, listen, I love mud bugs, but I'm about them like I am crab legs. Way too much work for the payoff.
Way too much.
You don't get enough meat out of them to make it worth doing all that cracking and pulling and
stuff. If you got some big king crab, you can get a pretty good chunk out of that. But on a crawfish, that's a lot. Now,
just give me a lobster tail.
There you go.
Yes.
But, I mean, if we go to frying up the crawfish with one pile and making some etouffee on another one, I'm all in.
I love that.
All in.
But I'll even tell you, this, and this is a, they're not a sponsor, so it's a free plug. Tejan, not Tejan, I'm sorry.
Tejan.
Fish City Grill.
Fish City Grill, yeah.
We gave away two free plugs then.
We gave Tejan. Tejan actually did advertise those when they first opened.
They did.
And they bailed out on us. Right. Fish City Grill.
Just saying.
Try the crawfish and shrimp tacos.
Oh, really?
Really good.
Really good. All right. Good. Well, I'll take that under advisement for sure. Love me some seafood. Grew up down near the coast. If it swam, we ate it, you know.
And I like it a lot.
And so, for sure. All righty. So it's about 6:13, Yo-Yo. Let's go sell some stuff. When we come back, we're going to do a full-on, all-out interview with the one Ken Roberts.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning, which was our business of the week this week. And congratulations to Jeremy and Susan Pennell for winning that $50. Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning in Waxahachie, they've been providing the superior HVAC expertise that you demand. For the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs, call today at Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning, 972-834-2568, and learn more about all of Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning's HVAC contractor services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages on your station for Classic Texas Music, Hometown Radio, KBEC.
Hey, Rachel, let's go to Scarborough Renaissance Festival again.
Really? We had so much fun there last time.
Oh, remember those cute nights we met at the wine tasting event?
OMG, so much fun.
The artisan marketplace filled with exquisite crafts, 20 stages of nonstop entertainment, and wine tasting with knights. Let's go.
Scarborough Renaissance Festival, weekends now through May 29th. Get discount tickets today at srfestival.com.
Whoa, slow down, son. What are you doing there?
I'm just going to mow the lawn.
Nope.
All that errands comfort is for me. Go make a TikToks or something.
What kind of son would I be if I let you mow the lawn yourself?
A normal teenaged one? Why do you really want to mow the lawn?
Well, I thought if the neighbors saw how great our lawn looks, maybe I could make a few bucks cutting theirs.
I see. How come you didn't do this last year?
Well, you didn't have an errands last year.
Good point.
Mower Depot, located on West Business 287, across from Jerry's Tires and down from Compton's, with a huge selection of Gravely and Arion zero turns. Check out our pricing to see if we can beat the big box stores. On-site service is available and a huge selection of parts, pickup and delivery available.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
Man, did we ever get a lot done in that break right there? That was pretty good.
That's what happens with efficiency and professionalism.
That's right.
Gotta catch my breath.
Oh, yeah? And how did you brew a cup of coffee that quick?
Our Keurig, I think, is getting slower and slower.
You got to clean it every once in a while, so yeah. I'll have to get in there and give it a good scrub down.
Pour the vinegar through it, right?
I got about a quarter cup of coffee out of that short commercial break.
You must push the small button, not the medium button or the tall button.
It's all right. I like it strong.
That's it, right? So it becomes out like you thought it was coffee, but it's actually espresso.
That's why we call it mud in the
Navy.
That's
right. My wife's grandfather always said, doesn't take much water to make a good cup of coffee.
That's true. I've told folks many times, it can be too weak, but it can't be too strong.
Exactly. In our Sunday school class, you used to could look in and see all the way to the bottom of the cup. I'm like, nah, it's just dirty water.
That's offensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I was in a Druze village one time in the Middle East, and a group of us were there. We were on a little missions trip, but we were eating at this Druze village. And a super nice guy, and their coffee is like ultimately strong. And the guy brought it out, and he's just all smiles, all happy, super nice because we're Americans.
Yep.
And one of our guys asked for milk for his
coffee. Oh, no.
And it changed.
Yeah.
This dude got sour, took his cup of coffee away.
Yeah,
and
grossly.
Wouldn't even come back wait on us anymore. Made his son come over there and finish out our order.
Grossly offended him.
And that's what he said. You have offended my father.
There you go. Okay.
That's my strong coffee story.
So in that chair to my left right here in Studio B of the world headquarters of KBEC Radio, we've had the great legendary Dale Hansen, who brought down the Southwest Conference, I guess some would argue, or definitely brought down the SMU football program.
Yes,
yeah. But we've had Mike Leslie in studio, another broadcaster or whatever. I'm trying to think who else. We had the great Mike Fay a time or two,
I guarantee you.
You know.
Still in this seat right here.
Right. But tonight we have Ken Roberts. So, one, thank you for jumping in on us here or sitting in with us.
Two, I'm not really making the connection with those other guys.
Well,
but that's okay.
My point is, we were working our way up to ultimate greatness, and now you're sitting there. That's my point.
That's too kind.
Sorry, I let a little bit off. Okay. So, as I kind of alluded to a little bit ago in our introductions, was that, I've always wondered a little or had some wonderment just about, you grow up in Waxahachie, so let's start with that, right? Born and raised right here.
Born and raised. My dad was from Arkansas, but after he got out of Army Air Corps, he came to Waxahachie. He had actually made a trip to Ellis County with a buddy of his who was coming back when they had a little weekend furlough. He couldn't get back to Arkansas and come back to San Antonio at another time. Came to Ellis County, liked it, so when he got out there, the Southwest Bible Institute, which is now SAGU.
Yeah.
He decided on the GI Bill. He never finished high school, so he thought, I'm going to take some classes.
Yeah.
Came and while there met what would end up being my mom, and they got married, and that was 1946.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my family owned a grocery store here in Waxahachie, owned and operated for years and years.
And where was that located?
That would be where Dusty Autry's driving school is, right across from the Justice Center on Jackson Street.
All right, okay.
That used to be Hickerson Food Store.
All right.
My folks had five kids, and all five of us went first grade through graduating at Waxahachie High School, except for my younger sister went kindergarten through.
All right, so she added to the, right?
So five Roberts kids that all graduated Waxahachie High School. My senior year of high school.
In
1980-81.
All right.
I had been, let me back up. I always had a love of radio.
All right.
And anyhow, through some fortunes, I guess we can talk about maybe when we talk a little bit about how I got into radio. But it worked to where I got to come to work at our local radio station while I was still in high school.
Right here at KBEC.
Right here at the little Quebec, October 17th, 1980.
Wow.
And Through fate and fortune and the hand of the good Lord.
43 years
here
later.
Here I am.
Wow. So when you say you had a love of radio, so yeah. Were you the transistor radio kid listening to the Ranger and
this
all
is
Rangers
the truth.
And all of that?
Actually, it was even pre-Rangers. My dad never played sports, but my dad loved sports.
Okay.
And there wasn't a ton of it on TV except on the weekends.
You know, right.
You see the national baseball game of the week or whatever.
Worldwide of sports.
But somebody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I still to this day, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's KLIF. I don't know who. Somebody carried the Houston Astro baseball games
in
Dallas-Fort Worth back in the 60s.
Which would have been when the Rangers were still minor league.
They weren't even here until 72. So we followed the Astros. And so, like my dad, we just had this little ritual. Like, if he worked on the yard or we did some grilling out, he and my twin brother and I would sit out on the back patio and listen to the Astros. And he had one of those transistor radios that had the little leather cover with the little holes.
Yeah, exactly. And the retractable antenna.
And we'd sit out there and listen to the Astros. And Gene Elston was the play-by-play guy for a lot of years at Houston. He and Lowell Pass used to do the games.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that just... I don't know. At the age of 5 or 6, I'm sitting there and I have this thought, you know, we enjoy this so much and this guy is so far away. How awesome is that?
Right.
I want to do that someday.
Plus, he gets paid to watch sports.
Of course, the money part didn't even figure into thinking about that at that point. It was just that, how neat would it be to be able to broadcast and know that people are sitting there and listening to what you're saying. I don't know why that had such an allure to me. So that was where my love for radio started. I mean, at a real early age, and that's just what I wanted to do.
Really?
Wanted to do.
So you graduate Waxahachie High School in 81, and then I'm assuming you kept working here part-time or something during college.
So what happened is that – so I get to Waxahachie High School because this is kind of – it's kind of where I really took the turn towards being involved in radio. I get hooked into the FFA program.
All right.
Because I hate my French class.
Right.
You know, you got to take a freshman elective.
You got it right, exactly.
And I'm taking French, and it's horrible.
So are you showing pigs?
But
or
I can still
rabbits?
Say, Jew my pal Kenny. I can still say that. And La Plume for a pen. That's the crazy thing. My brother and I are walking down the hallway, and we run into Gary Don Autry. This is Dusty Autry's dad, who used to be my baseball coach back in the day, Little League, Farm League, Larry Navarro, Barry Navarro's dad. And so we see him, and we say, hey, Gary Don. And he says, now, boys, first thing here at the high school, you got to call me Mr. Autry. You can't call me by my first name. And he said, but outside of that, how are you liking high school? And we said, it's all good except for the French class.
Yeah, French is not good.
So he tells us, hey, you ought to come over to FFA. And we give him the old, well, we don't live on a farm type of thing. And he says, you don't have to. He explains all the leadership courses you can take, all of the skills competition, all the meat, whatever we want to do. Dad owns a grocery store. So long story short, we get in the FFA, and I find out they've got a farm radio broadcasting competition.
Oh, yeah. Now
and
you're interested.
Thought, this is for me.
Right.
Well, as a freshman, Mr. Ron Appleton, who was and still is to me, Waxahachie FFA.
Yeah, FFA, that's right.
He's had such an unbelievable impact on my life. But he told me I wasn't ready for radio. Your voice is way too high. Let's wait and let you get a change in there.
Yeah.
Let's put you on the green hand skills team. So that's what we did.
Right.
Came back my sophomore year. Mr. Appleton, I'm ready for radio. No, you're not. We're going to put you on the junior skills team. Came back my junior year, though, and that was a magical summer between my sophomore year. I grew like 3.5 inches.
All right.
And my voice went from being a Vienna boys choir.
A soprano to tenor. Yeah.
And he says, okay, you're ready. And our farm radio team that year won the state competition.
Really?
And I always tell people the reason why I'm proud of for that is that unlike – and not against anything in sports, I love it. But unlike UIL competition sports and FFA, it's every chapter in the state.
Yeah, that's
is
right.
Eligible. I don't care how big or how little you
that's
are.
That's right. That's right.
So if you win a state championship at anything in the FFA,
you're
beating a bunch of schools.
A bunch of kids.
And
that's
we
right.
won it that year, my junior year. Did Mr. Dub Estes, who used to work here, had a little little show he would do where he would highlight different people in the community, and he had our FFA farm radio team do our script on KBEC.
All right.
Spring forward to my my senior year in the fall, and they have a part-timer who's leaving to go to college. Perfect. The program director happened to remember us doing that script, and I got a call, came to work here part-time, and...
The rest is history.
There you go. Bada bing, bada boom.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
All right, so you sparked a few questions in me. All so, FFA Farm Radio, what did y'all talk about? Like, stocker cattle prices for the day,
so,
or...
Hey, this is so great, but it's so awesome. I mean, it had to be ag-related.
Right.
Mr. Appleton had written this script. And it was about how much livestock gets bruised on the way to market.
Hmm.
And I mean, it was the script, it couldn't be more than 5 minutes, but it couldn't be less than three.
So you weren't actually broadcasting to an audience.
Yeah, it was judges.
But it wasn't an audience of 10,000 or 25.
No. So what they do
is
they put you in a room with a PA system.
Yeah.
And it's just you and your teammates, which Duke Ostrander, who's still at Metal Mark to this day, and my buddy Scotty Box, I don't know where he is now. There's three of us. We're in a room, and we're broadcasting to these judges we can't see.
Okay.
And we're doing the script, and I'll never forget the scripts. And I didn't have the opening line. Scotty did, but it was bruises, bruises, bruises. By midnight tonight, over so many hundred pounds of pork, beef, and lamb will be bruised all the way to market.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And Mr. Appleton told me later that script did so well. Not only did we win a state the 2 years before us, we had a group get to state. They didn't win it. But he said there were other ag teachers would ask him, hey, when you get ready to get rid of that script, we want it.
Pass it on.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Anyway.
All right. So cool deal. Okay. So you go to work here at KBEC. So what are those early days looking like? What are your tasks?
So I'm one of two weekend part-timers. Now, back in those days, we were only on till sunset. We were a daytimer station.
Okay.
So we'd sign on at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'd stay on till the sunset. So in the summertime, that's about 8:30, 8:45.
And the format, was it classic Texas country then? I mean, those are like some words that don't really...
It was not. And
classic Texas music rather than...
For so long, what had been happening at KBEC is that they would broadcast from 6 till noon, just a regular format with the flea market and some local news. And then they had a Spanish group that would come in and broadcast in Spanish from noon until sign-off.
Oh, wow.
So when I got hired, they just hired a new program director, and they decided they're just going to leave the Spanish broadcasting on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just gone to the urban cowboy country format. That was
there
a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so that's what they were doing during the week. Well, I only got hired to work on the weekends, and I only got to broadcast for about 2 hours before...
Out of a whole weekend.
The Spanish broadcasting would come on. And me and this buddy of mine would alternate working either Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and then we'd switch it on Sunday. Sunday
I got
morning,
you.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. But you were truly spinning the records at that time, too.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. It's all we had. I mean, that's pre-CD players.
Right, exactly.
Spinning records and playing stuff on reel-to-reel and cart machines.
Yeah. And so you're listening to a song go out where you can mix it in on the next one coming in.
Nothing worse than starting a 33 record off while it's still on 45 or vice versa. But I guarantee I did it a lot of times. I bet you Yo-Yo did too.
I have experience.
But you know, here's the deal. And I got into all that. And then during the summer after my senior year, they put me on full time. And I had a regular shift every day. And but sports was my love.
Yeah.
And so the issue is when you're a daytimer, during the fall and winter, you're not on. You're signing off at 5:30.
Right.
So I begin to realize if I'm going to broadcast any sports at this station, it's just going to be baseball because the days are getting longer. And at that time, except for Richards Park and maybe DeSoto, there weren't many fields that had lights.
Yeah.
So they were all like 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock starts.
I got you.
So I just I went into my boss. I found an old set of sports headphones in the equipment closet.
You're right. Where the microphone comes around over
your
mouth.
And I could remember as a kid, they used to broadcast Waxahachie baseball, daytime games. I sat in the press box and listened to a guy that I still to this day not real sure who he was, doing Indian baseball game.
Yeah.
And so I just said, have we ever thought about maybe picking up doing baseball again? And so they got some guys after it, and they sold it. And the Thursday game of the Robert Doolin, opening game of the Robert Doolin tournament, 1980, was my first baseball broadcast. I've been broadcasting Indian baseball 1981 since that
in 81. Wow.
Then we added football and basketball once we got the 24-hour.
Sure. And then what year did those come on?
They told us in late 86 that they were going to move a lot of the daytimers to where you could stay on 24 hours. Even then, we didn't stay on 24 hours. We'd sign off at 11.
Right.
But because Mr. Tuck didn't want to pay anybody to work on
it. Right.
And we weren't automated. But we did start doing the ball games the following year in 87, football, basketball.
So I know you call more than this, but for the most part, the main format is football, basketball, and baseball, right?
Right.
And you'll call a softball game occasionally.
We've done volleyball. We've done softball. Yep. I used to go down every year for several years and do the state track and field meet because Waxahachie, for several years, always had athletes.
Right.
And we'd go down and I would call it, and it'd always be during baseball season, and I would do some reports during the baseball broadcast. O'Daniel and one of his buddies would do the ball game, and I'd do some reports during the course of the game.
Of the track meet.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because a full-blown, I don't know that I've ever heard of radio track broadcast.
No,
that would be kind of tough.
Still haven't broadcast a soccer game yet. That's the one hanging out there that I just don't have any expertise in.
Right.
And I'm not sure other than he kicks it to him and he kicks it to him, I would say, until goal came along.
Yeah, and unfortunately, unlike five-year-old soccer, there's no mob in the middle just chasing the ball around.
I'm just afraid me and coach would start talking about all kinds of crazy stuff.
Exactly. Or would he even do that with you, right?
I think coach would do any sport. We enjoy broadcasting together, and I think he'd be willing to do anything that we'd give it a try, but we just haven't got our courage yet.
All right, so who you're talking about, so our audience is clear, is the old left-hander himself.
Yeah.
Former Waxahachie coach, former Waxahachie principal, I believe, administrator, human resource director. That would be one, Mr. Mike Turner.
He was on your show last week?
Last week, two weeks ago.
Yep. Talking about the alumni day.
Exactly. Yep, the alumni game that went down Saturday between Waxahachie and Ennis. Okay, which, by the way, Waxahachie fared pretty well.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
They did.
So, what year did you team up with the old left-hander?
Okay, well, so I started doing baseball for the Indians in the spring of 81. And from 81 till 87, I did all those games by myself.
By yourself.
I was going Vin Scully on it. And let me tell you, that's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
That's the hardest sport to do by yourself because there's so much downtime.
Yeah.
So, once I got a partner, it was pretty easy. Mike O'Daniel started doing the games with me that very first year. And he and I, for 20 years, teamed up. But what would happen is that every year of football season, when deer season opened, I don't care how much O'Daniel loved football, he loved deer hunting.
Had to go deer hunting.
And he'd leave, and I had to have somebody to do the game.
You needed to fill in.
And Coach Turner was the suggestion of my boss, Richard Tuck, because, as Michael Key told you, he actually worked here at KBEC when he was in high school.
Exactly.
I was so – oh, man, I can't tell you. I was overwhelmed. I was intimidated. I mean, he was Coach Turner.
Yeah.
You know, when I came up, he was just legendary already.
Right.
And the thought of having him in a broadcast booth with me scared me to death.
Right.
But, you know, we did that first football game together, and I'll never forget, it was at Lancaster. And he was so easy to work with, didn't treat me like I was still a student. We broadcast, and we were going along. I thought, this is going really well. And about halfway through the second quarter, I look, and coming up the stands is my boss. In Lancaster, Texas, Richard hates sports. What's he doing here?
Right.
He walks in. He said, "You boys can quit. You've been off the air since about 2 minutes into the broadcast." We didn't have any way to monitor back then what was going on, so we just broadcasted our butts off to nobody.
To nobody. So you were thinking you were almost back in the FFA competition.
Yeah, and
again.
You know what? Coach Turner to this day will still say, "I still think that's one of the best broadcasts we ever did."
Right, exactly. Of course it was. So when you were in school, did you have any affiliation with Mike Turner?
Well, I did. You know, when I first got to high school, I mean, I played baseball my freshman year and was excited for the thought of playing for Coach Turner. Again, he was legendary status. And my freshman year was his last year.
To coach. Before he went into administration.
And so through a series of events, Buck Jordan, who is one of the great city fathers, you're well aware of Buck. He was also my Pony League coach for many years.
Okay.
And he knew I had an interest in broadcasting because during some of our Pony League games, if we was throttling somebody and we'd let other guys I'd broadcast from in the dugout just act like a He got tired of doing the public address, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come do the PA at Richards Park for me?"
Okay.
And I did that my sophomore, junior year, and then by my senior year, I was actually –
I got you. Yeah, Buck Jordan was a huge fan of Waxahachie sports.
Oh, my.
I mean, he was on the chain gang for decades, I guess, on Friday nights. You know,
he was just, You know, I think how fortunate I was to grow up in a city that had so many guys like Buck, like Ron Appleton, guys that took an interest in Coach Turner and young men and their development.
Right.
And also just loved Waxahachie, so always was looking out for the best interest of the community.
Right. And so that whatever they're doing could be passed on to the next generation.
That's
and
what
the
they
next,
were doing, and right. you don't even realize it at the time.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you stop and look and think, wow, I miss those guys being here. The
yeah.
Pat McElroy's, the Dean Boxes, the Gary Wallaces. Right. I mean, there's so many of them. They coached all the sports, yep. and they were involved in the chamber, and mm-hmm. they were the movers and shakers.
Well, you know, when I was PA-ing that little stint at Lumpkins on Friday nights, I sat next to Red Roberts. And I asked Mr. Roberts one night, I'm like, how long you been doing this? It started in 1965. Yep. And I'm like, holy cow, that was 55 years prior, you know.
Red Rock was my neighbor growing up. We lived two houses apart from each other.
Oh, did you? But there's no kin, right?
No kin at all. But we always would call each other kin folks because we're the same
last name. Yeah, you could get away with it.
Mr. Roberts. Jerry Red Roberts was he's another one of those guys, just a lifetimer.
A lifetimer.
Yeah.
And so dedicated to it. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. I have a funny story about him that, you know, we're dealing up there and he's working the key part of the keyboard. It communicates wirelessly with the scoreboard. And one night we look out there, man, and the scoreboard is blinking. It's going crazy. We're not making good communication. And we look over and he's got his hand wrapped around the antenna. And we're like, Red, you're blocking it. You got your hand on the antenna. He goes, antenna? I thought that was a handle. Like, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know that I've ever seen a keyboard that actually you needed to hang on to, you know, like it's going to go crazy.
A crap handle on the keyboard.
Right, exactly. Right. But what a treat to sit next to him for those years.
I got to watch. I'll give you a Red Roberts story that's totally unsports related, but because he lived on the same street, 1982, I guess it was. Building caught on fire at the Northgate Plaza Shopping Center. And back then, at the end of our street, going into John Arden, there was nothing between us and the shopping center but a big field,
right.
Mr. Cook's field. And so me and my brother and Red Roberts and a couple of other neighbor guys stood at the end of the street and watched that building burn down. And we were laughing and cutting up and telling jokes. And we often said that's the only block meeting we ever had was to watch a building burn down at the Northgate Shopping Center.
There you go. So, yeah, you just – to have a block party or get a neighborhood watch meeting going, you just got to catch something on fire.
41 years ago.
41 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, so football, basketball, baseball, with some other sports scattered and thrown in there as well. Which one is your favorite?
So I've been asked this, and I always answer the same way. I have a favorite sport, but then I have a favorite to call.
So is football or baseball your favorite sport?
Baseball is my favorite sport, and to me, to be in that press box at Paul Richards Park, I almost don't even consider that sports. That is
It's poetry.
Almost religion.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean
there is so much history involved in that, and I realize how long it happened before me and how long it'll happen after me. And I don't know. That is an esoteric experience for me. So I don't even put it in the same category.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the actual broadcasting play by play, the pomp, the pageantry, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Friday night in the fall in the state of Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
There's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I've told folks this, even to this day, when we get ready to do that football broadcast and I hear the intro running, I still get goosebumps. I mean, I still get a little butterfly flutter thinking, wow, because, you know, we can even look at like our online listener numbers. There's just no comparison.
Yeah.
Everything else we do, even when we get the playoffs in other sports, doesn't compare to what we draw on a Waxahachie Innis broadcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It's high school in Texas, and it don't get any bigger than that.
So you would say, though, I mean, once y'all...
So baseball's my favorite sport.
Yeah.
But it's hard to beat a high school football broadcast.
Yeah, I could relate to that.
Yeah.
The crowd's bigger, all that stuff.
Everything. It's the excitement, the adrenaline, the participation. You have so many different elements participating.
Yep.
And it's a flurry of activity. You know, even when you're over there, the press box, there's so much going on. And, man.
Do you find it easier to come up with words to say and things?
I do. Well, they're each unique in their own way. You can be more creative in baseball because you've got more time to think about what
you're doing. Exactly.
Football, you kind of fall into a pattern unless you get a timeout or you're coming back from a break. you can't be so extemporaneous because you're operating in a rhythm.
Right.
And you only got so much time between plays, and most of the time, coach is breaking down what happened on the play before, or we're filling in the gaps of what just occurred before they snap the ball and they go again.
Sure.
So it's a whole different creature. Baseball is a talking sport.
100%.
It is. And we can talk about how we don't understand why you can eat at the Whataburger in Mansfield and get the same order, and it is 50 cents cheaper than the JB Memorial Whataburger there in Midlothian. It don't make no right. sense, but it's the truth.
It's the truth.
$16 even at Mansfield and $16.50 at Midlothian. And it's the same exact order.
High rent district.
That's the kind of stuff we talk about here in the baseball broadcast.
You want to talk about creativity, though. There is nothing in baseball history like a Ken Roberts Twilight call.
That has blown me away how that has taken on a life of its own over something that happened so off the cuff.
Right.
We were actually doing a girls' softball game. This has been years ago. I don't know. I mean, we're still over at the old high school, and we're doing a girls' softball game. Beautiful evening and an unbelievable sunset. And the colors, and I just start making up some crap about the sunset. And I finished it with, it's twilight time at Waxahachie High School. And coach just sat there and stared at me. And he said, partner, I think I'm going to cry. And so he got, all of a sudden it is just expected that I'm going to do a twilight call.
Right.
If we can, if it's not cloudy or rainy or whatever.
Right.
And so.
And you get a view of it, obviously.
Richards Park.
It's perfect.
There's a window looking right out the side, and we get a great view. But even on the road, if we're facing the road, he wants a twilight call.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And so I get that to make up awesome. A lot of stuff there, too.
Well, we're down to – we're needing to go to another break.
Yeah.
We have a studio guest in studio here, so we do need to get her in and get her on. Can I invite you back at some point in the future to extend this conversation?
You know where to find me.
I think I do. I got star one on my speed dial.
You know where to find me. Hey, I appreciate it. I'm glad to do it.
Yeah, well, thank you. I do. That cleared up a lot, but we still got a lot more to clear up. So please do come back, and please stick around and help me interview.
I'd be glad
When we get back, we're going to interview, I believe, Emily Forner of Maypearl. And you're not going to believe what this young lady is capable of doing. So stick around through the commercial break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Hey, KBEC listeners, don't miss Vintage Market Days, the upscale indoor-outdoor covered market featuring original art, antiques, clothing, jewelry, handmade treasures, home decor, along with outdoor furnishings, consumable yummies, seasonal plantings, and more. It all takes place at the Ellis County Expo Center in Waxahachie, 2300 U.S. 287 Bypass Service Road. The early buying event is 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, general admission Saturday 10 to 5, and Sunday 10 till 4. Admission for children under 12 is free. Cash and credit cards are accepted at the gate. And once purchased, your ticket is good for re-entry to the event all weekend. It's Vintage Market Days, Ellis County Expo Center in Waxahachie, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't miss it.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. That's 800-344-2066. Paid for by NPS.
KBEC.
And now, back to the press box on KBEC.
And we are back here at 6:45, 45 minutes past the hour. Chad Hicks, I always say, you know, and Adam Olson is riding alongside. Adam is out of pocket tonight. But, man, alongside me is the legendary Ken Roberts. Thank you for being in the studio.
Hey, before we get to our guests, I just want to give a shout-out, too, talking about legendary. On the show that comes after this one, SAGU Faith and Sports, they're talking to the great Jim Sundberg tonight. Yes.
The Texas Ranger
Ranger catcher that is in the Ranger Hall of Fame, and he is their guest. So you want us to be sure and stay tuned for that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Does he have a connection with SAGU?
He actually does.
Or maybe we need to tune in to find out.
They talk about some of that.
All
so.
Right. There we go. Okay. So in studio, Yo-Yo, if you hadn't noticed, over to your left in Studio A here at the World Broadcast headquarters of KBEC is one Emily Farmer of Maypearl, Texas, and her coach, Sean Peach. Coach and Emily, how are y'all this evening?
We're good.
You're good. All right. Coach and you're all right?
I'm doing all right. Let's do this.
All right. Don't be nervous. You're talking to thousands, consequently millions. Who knows? My mom listens to this show.
Yeah,
my mom listens to this show.
Hey,
I told you
that's
that
what
she
just
did.
Said.
I told you. See how quick I can retract my statement. All right. So, Coach, let's start with you if we can. Okay. So you are, I believe, a football coach, maybe the offensive coordinator at Maypearl. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But you also coach the weightlifting team.
We do. Powerlifting.
Powerlifting. Excuse me. My apologies. I should have known better than to say weightlifting. Yeah, powerlifting team. Okay, so there to your left is a pretty phenomenal little athlete, isn't it?
She is. She's had a pretty good career at Maypearl.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like two-time state champion?
She is. And actually, she's had an interesting road over the last 4 years. Always, she is a great example of nothing in life is a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Her freshman year, she made state, and COVID hit, and she didn't get to compete. And then sophomore year, she had an injury during athletics, and she missed a hip injury, so she missed her entire sophomore year. And so she came out and she won state as a junior. And then this last year, she had a wreck, a pretty serious wreck, about a week and a half before our regional meet. And our boyfriend's in studio who was the one driving. So,
Wow. Well, we're glad they're both disabled to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
she barely made it back in time for regionals. And we kept her pretty light just to make sure she qualified for state. And then she got after the state and won her back-to-back championship.
Wow.
How about that?
That's amazing.
So now I've got a question for Emily. All right, you're still with us, right? You're not sleeping over there or anything.
No,
right?
I hear her giggling, yeah, so I know she's there.
Yeah, I'm giggling over here.
So I'm going to preface this question. Emily, I would never ask this question to a lady, ever. But you're in a little bit of a unique situation because – and I'm just going to say it. I'm just –
Boy, you're
full
scared
throttle here.
To death.
Yeah, well, when you walked in, you were not what I was expecting to see as a weightlifter.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're petite, you're very feminine, whatever. And I'm not saying that weightlifters are I was just expecting a large person, you know? I mean, that's just what I've envisioned.
That's from watching all those Russian weightlifters back in the day.
Exactly. Or the strongman competition on ESPN or something, right? I'm wondering if you can throw a keg of beer over a 20-foot wall or whatever.
Those Soviet women that had mustaches.
Exactly. So what do you lift in a certain weight category? Is that how this works?
Yes, sir. So I lift in the 97 weight class. So I weighed 97 pounds. And at state, I actually weighed 94.5, I think, 94.8.
So how does this work? So you weigh in to make sure you fall into whatever category. But once you weigh, you can – you can hit the Whataburgers or whatever you need to. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And amass as much energy as you need to
Now, for the record, that's not part of your workout routine, Whataburger, is it?
You'd be surprised. I get Whataburger after every meet.
There you go. All right. And then the big question, do you pay $16 or $16.50?
Yeah. Have you ever gone to a discrepancy, found that different Whataburgers charge you different things? Because I have.
Well, I don't know. My dad buys it.
Oh, so there you go. That's what I need
right,
to do.
Yeah, we need to meet your dad. Okay, so in your events, you're bench pressing, or help us out here. You have three lifts. Is this right?
Yes, sir. So you have squat, deadlift, and bench.
And squat, deadlift, and bench. Okay, and then is each one of those an individual, is scored individually, or do they add the three together and then that's your total score?
They add the three together at the end, and that's your individual, or that's your total score.
Your total. Okay, so what could we expect you to squat?
Well, at the moment, it would probably be about the same as state. It would probably be about 275.
275.
Now, think about that.
I'm
That's
trying
more than twice her weight.
No way.
Right.
Do you think any of us could squat our weight?
That's almost three times.
Almost three times.
I can't even squat.
I can't even figure out what three times my weight would be. I'd have to think about that for a second.
I need a Cray computer over here.
I lunged one time to pick up a tack on the floor and had to miss work for a week.
That is so unbelievable.
Okay, so now let's talk about bench. Where are we at on bench?
So bench, at state I benched 165. I set the state record, actually.
Did you really?
Weight class,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
So we're not just a two-time state champion. We're a state record holder?
Yes, sir. And I have the regional record.
Really? Okay, so we've had Dale Hansen, Ken Roberts, and Emily
She Formers. Goes to the top of the list. In fact, I want to get that's worthy of nickname stuff. Anybody ever called you like the Maypearl Mauler or anything like that?
Exactly.
No, in a little interview with Dr. Stewart, he's the guy that takes the pictures, he called me a Maypearl Gem, so now all my friends call me the Maypearl Gem.
Well, that sounds good, too.
Yeah, exactly. We can go
so like
that.
A gymnasium or...
No, like no. A gym, like a gym.
Like a gym, like a GEM, not a GYM.
I'm confused.
All right.
That's okay.
And a bad speller.
I'm confusing.
That's that Burleson education.
Yeah, that's what you get for being an elk. What do elks know?
We don't need to attack Burleson now. Come on.
I guarantee if a panther took... Panthers bring down elks all the time. I'm just saying.
So here's a question I would have then, too, I could interject. How does a young lady, at what point does a young lady realize or develop this extreme interest in being a power lifter?
Well, for a lot of girls, I'd say it's more of a you really have to want to do it. But for me, it was just I kept. This is going to sound cocky. I kept winning, so I actually enjoyed it.
No, that's not cocky at all.
No,
I mean,
how did you get introduced? Did you know somebody that was doing this? Did you see it on television? How do you ever even develop an interest for this?
Well, my dad did it in high school.
Ah.
And, you know.
A family of powerlifters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my dad did it in high school, and then actually one of the volleyball coaches was like, you're built like a powerlifter. Like, he was like, you're short, but you're strong. And me and my lifting partner were outlifting all the girls in the weight room, and we were the two smallest ones.
Wow.
So he was like, we're starting up our girls powerlifting again. I want you to join it.
Interesting.
That is. So now I don't feel so bad about asking about weight. If he's saying you're built like a, you know what, that's just
power
not the
out.
Most.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Okay. So I'm just jotting down numbers. I just got to know this. So let's go back to it real quick. Deadlift. So where are you at on deadlift at the state? Where were you there at the state meet?
Well, at the state meet, I deadlifted 275 pounds. Same as my squat.
Gosh. All right.
But my max on deadlift is 280, it was in kilos, 286 point something, I believe. I did that at Worlds this summer.
I just got a hernia when you said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying that gave me a hernia.
Yeah,
right, for
I
sure.
I did that at Worlds in November, I believe.
I couldn't even lift the weights to put on the bar.
Right. Well, you bring in a dolly, you know, and a crane.
That is so amazing.
So if my math is correct, because I added it up, I carried the one and doubled the two and divided by square root
Aggie
of
math.
Six.
And watch out for Aggie math.
I
you
came up with 715 pounds.
Yes.
Which is also a new state record.
Yes.
Wow. So,
so you're a two-time.
Doggone.
Yeah. I feel so inferior.
That is amazing.
I don't think I should even be in this room.
Right. So, Coach, tell us a little bit, because I'm sure a lot of us are not well-versed in the procedure for training and getting prepared for the powerlifting competitions. What does that entail?
Ooh, a lot of wrapping. I think more than anything else, what is it's good for the sport, but also it's intriguing. Most coaches would tell you your equipment is very important. But I think for a safety reason too. If you're 95 pounds and you're getting under 285 pounds on squat, it's important to protect your knees and
sure.
You've probably seen a lot of Olympic lifters once in a while. Bar goes behind their head or whatever else, and it's a little bit dangerous.
Or some of the hyperextension. That stuff's kind of scary to me.
Which, let's not bring that up too much, because she started Olympic lifting here a few months ago. So.
Oh, wow. So is that it now? Because that's kind of, I guess, where we would go as we're getting thin on time.
Yeah.
Your future plans, is that something you would try to work towards?
Yeah. So I've talked to Team USA for Olympic weightlifting, and I actually work out at a gym in Fort Worth called Blue Wave, and I do my Olympic training there for weightlifting. So hopefully you'll see me on that stage in a couple of years, as long as everything goes right.
Yeah, so you are a senior. You're about to graduate, correct?
Yes, sir.
So then what about school-wise? Is this something that you can go into a college with? Or what are your thoughts there? Or what's the plan?
So a couple colleges have a powerlifting program. Because I've been doing the Olympic stuff since, the end of October, I've been more focused on that than school. But if I do anything else, I'd go to college for powerlifting. I know that I think UT and Tarleton and stuff like that, schools like that, have a powerlifting program that I'd like to be
in. So the Olympic qualifying, that's going to supersede that for the time being, though.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because that's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And you only get so many shots at that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That is.
Coach, what does having a multiple state champion winner and record holder do for the program as a whole there in Maypearl?
Our girls program, before Emily started, I think there was maybe one or two in the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we end up finishing fifth in state this year, and we have five girls qualify for state.
Wow.
And, going from 3 years ago, we'd never had more than two qualify for regionals, and now we have five qualify for state. So it's been great for our program.
I just always think it's awesome when you get that shining star that can turn a program and establish a program like that. Yeah.
But I've got to play devil's advocate, Ken, with that question, because, Coach, what does this do to your football program when they're looking at a 97-pound female over there who's throwing 715 around, and I'm not sure that all of your players could do that on your football program?
It does awesome things in the weight room, because the boys are on the other side and they see somebody 95 pounds throwing up 275. They want to go put on more weight. So. It's not a bad thing at all.
So it's enhanced
incentive.
It's built their confidence rather than crushed their confidence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whenever we're in class, I tend to crush their confidence to talk about it.
Yeah, when you put the gold medals around your neck every
day
when
awesome.
You get to the school,
wow.
That's awesome. I just drew a blank.
I just think
question.
It makes you the most decorated individual athlete we've ever had on this show.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I don't know
two-time
that we've had
state
two
champ and record holder.
And two record holders, for sure.
Amazing.
When you broke the record, this was my question. I mean, did you crush it, or did you make it by a pound, or what was the, how far out did you set the bar?
Well, for bench, I think I only set about 10 pounds higher than it was, but it was set in like 2014.
Oh, wow.
So it's hard to get to that weight at my body weight. And honestly, I didn't even realize I broke the total record until afterwards. So I have no clue about that one.
Yeah. Was that your PB?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we were going in, she'd hit her opener on deadlift, and it was questionable whether she had, and she, so she hit that at 225, so it was questionable whether for sure she had won it or not. So we kind of wanted to go for 275, which is what she needed to break the record by 5 pounds. But we waited one to make sure that she won state. But, yeah, we were going to go 275, break the record, and then really go for it on the last one and try to go 295 on deadlift. But
wow. It's so awesome.
That is awesome. That is incredible. Well, thank y'all so much for being here tonight, coming into the studio. It always makes it better, and or just not necessarily better, but makes it easier when you're here. It's easier when we can look at people and talk to them and all of that. And I can promise you that on the telephone, I would not have had the same perception of what we were dealing with.
The appreciation.
There you go. The appreciation of who we were talking to without seeing you firsthand. But all the best to you with your Olympic tryouts and trials and all of that sort of stuff. We are constantly looking for stuff to talk about in the way of high school sports. And so go do a good thing to help us out so we have more to talk about, for sure.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Coach, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
You bet. Hey, so that's going to conclude tonight's show. Want to thank Emily Forner and Coach Sean Peach of May Pearl, the powerlifting team there. And thank the great Ken Roberts for sitting in.
Hey, my pleasure. I enjoy it, and we'll finish up part two at some point.
Absolutely. And with Coach Turner, we got part two, part three. Yeah. We got a bunch of parts, so with both of you. But, Yo-Yo, thank you as always. And with all that, we'll be right back here next Monday at 6 p.m. And tell them good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.